This past Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Bemidji State University's Bill Blackwell Jr. was presented with the State of Minnesota's Martin Luther King Jr. Commitment to Service Award. It's an award presented to Minnesotans who not only lead with integrity, but who serve as inspirational role models committed to serving their communities and making Minnesota an inclusive state that works for all people. Bill Blackwell Jr. is the director of the American Indian Resource Center on the BSU campus in Bemidji, and he's joined us in our studios this morning. Thanks for being here, Bill.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
So just to educate our listeners who maybe aren't in the Bemidji area, what is the American Indian Resource Center and what does it offer on campus?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked quite often, to be honest with you. And we are very, very fortunate to have an amazing facility. So we have a standalone building that's been around for 14 years now. And the primary purpose of the center is to help American Indian students with persisting towards graduation. In the last couple of years since I've been there, we've really opened up to be in a more community and student-centered focused building. And for us, our sort of basic philosophy is that the culture that we have is our retention and persistence of students towards graduation. So we try our best to include community members and all the speakers we bring in, all the workshops that we do, and we really feel like the more that our students can be around their community and feel a part of our community, the better off they do in school.
Yeah. Well, since you've been at the helm, I know that retention rates have gone up to 84% with the Native American Indian population at BSU. What are some of the challenges specific to Native Americans as they enter college, and what really specifically, what do you guys do to help that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that I always like to point out is retention means first fall freshman to first fall sophomore. So it's that first year which is so critical for students to go on and persist towards graduation. So after that is where we kick into persistence. So after that first fall of your sophomore year until graduation, you persist towards your degree.
Okay.
So we really track that retention rate because that first year is just so critical. A lot of our students are first-generation students, and I often tell this story, and I'm notorious for talking way too long, but one of the things when I went to school, I was a first-generation student, and my parents very much were for education, but it was always a sense of if you go to college, this would be great. If not when, like I talk to my boys now. And I remember my first semester in college, all of a sudden around midterms, everyone started getting these packages in the mail, and I remember asking my buddies, like, what is this? And they wouldn't show me. And what I found out later on was they were care packages from their parents who realized that midterm is a stressful time. And usually there were notes from moms in there, which is why they didn't want to show me the sappy things their moms were saying to them or nicknames they had for them. But I just remember calling my mom and being like, you know, where's my package? And she's like, well, what's in the package? And I don't know. Nobody will show me. And so one of the things that we try really hard is to sort of be that family away from family, that home away from home. And we try and do things like having meals during midterm week because we know it's a stressful time. And a lot of first-generation students can't call back home and say, should I feel this way? And I remember that as a first-gen student calling to my mom and saying, should I feel this stressed out? She's like, oh, my gosh, I hope not. You know, she didn't have that frame of reference to say, yeah, you should, and here's how we're going to get you through it. So we try and provide that. A lot of times I feel we're more like auntie and uncles at the Resource Center, and we enjoy it that way. One of the reasons that we see in our data, and this is just not in Bemidji, it's nationwide, that American Indian students don't succeed in college, one of the main reasons is they don't feel a part of the campus community. So at the Resource Center, we try to provide that. We do home-cooked meals. I like and love to cook, and so we routinely will feed 120 staff, students, and faculty members, have them all come together for a meal, and it gives us an opportunity to do a few things. And one of the first things that we do is we tell them that we're proud of them. We tell them that we're thankful for them. And the first semester that I was here that we did this, I had like 3 to 4 students come back to me and say, I can't remember the last time someone told me that they were proud of me. Like, thank you. That really meant a lot. And so one of the things that we've really had to talk with the administration about is that retention and persistence in American Indian communities looks a little different than it does in the traditional sense. It's not just a first-year experience class. Sometimes it's us just sitting down and bringing in an elder speaker and letting them hear and feel and know the communities around them and feel like they do back in their home communities. And so that's been a big part of it. And we're certainly not there. There's no doubt about that. 84% for that first-year retention is up. It's great, but it's not where we want to be yet. And I really work hard to see what we can continually do next. What's the next thing we can do? And we've got a mentor program that we're going to install this fall for students that I'm really excited about that I think is going to drive that 84% up even higher.
Great. Once students stay for that second year, then you feel like they're kind of on their way.
Correct. And it's just, it's a comfort level thing. It's a self-confidence level thing. And, you know, our retention rates nationwide amongst American Indian students are some of the lowest. So one of the things that we always say on campus is let's pilot programs within the American Indian community, because if they work here, chances are they're probably going to work everywhere else on campus as well. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to secure some funding that way in some different forms. And it's been great. But, you know, at the end of the day, with the culture being at our forefront, and really, I think for us, because our building is smaller, I just walk around and ask people how they're doing. And I find out more things that way than probably any other way. Yeah. Or you can tell someone, hey, that person's always cheerful and they're a little down today. Everything going okay? Yeah, it's fine. Then the fourth time I ask, well, here's actually what's going on. And that comes from building relationships with the students as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we just graduated a group that we had some really good personal relationships with. And it's funny, I said, like, the auntie-uncle role that we play, these kids go, I call them kids, some of them aren't kids, but they go off and graduate, and then you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I kind of miss them. Like, you're so used to seeing them every day and things like that. So it's great, though, for when they're alumni to come back and help us out as well and to have those relationships. But we just strive really hard to be as authentic as possible and to really break down things on a personal level with students to where we can say, you know, remember that time when you were in my office and you told me your kids are why you wanted to get this degree? You're going through this hard time. Your kids are still the reason. Let's focus on that as opposed to what's going bad.
Yeah. You spoke about implementing some programs to help students along their way. And there's one specifically that I've been reading a lot more about recently, and that's the nursing program that helps Native students through the nurse, or helps support them through the nursing program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was actually a grant that the ARC collaborated on with the nursing program, and Dr. Misty Wilkie is who headed up that, and she's just an amazing role model for our students. She's a person who has a two-year degree from a community college, went on to a four-year degree, went on to a master's, went on to a nursing career, and then got her doctorate and is now teaching. So just without anything, she's a role model in itself to the students. But the program, basically what it does is it provides scholarship support. It also provides living support. Nursing is a very rigorous academic program. And so for our students to also have to be working 17 to 30, 40 hours a week, it takes away from their time to study. And it is a lot of studying that's involved with it. One of the things that I'm most excited about, though, is the grant allowed us to hire a student mentor. And it's a person who I've known for a while and is just an amazing, amazing person. He meets weekly with each student to go over things like time management, how you're adjusting to things, how you're doing. And that aspect, I think, is what the students have been most benefited by so far. I've had several of them comment to me, like, it's so nice to have someone once a week that I know I can go in and talk to. And some of the conversations are not about school most of the times. It's about what's going on in their personal lives. Many of them are parents. We have one young woman from Cass Lake who takes care of her brother and sister. I mean, there's just a lot of outside factors, but these people are so determined to work in these fields because they want to help people so much. And we see that with a lot of our Native students. Their goal is to go back to their communities and create positive impact.
Nursing itself is such a great occupation.
And there's a need in this community. We're being told by the entities that hire nurses that there is a need for American Indian nurses. They want their workforce to sort of mirror the communities. And in Beltrami County, we're at right about a quarter of our percentage as American Indian people. So more and more businesses are starting to focus on that. And that creates amazing partnerships that we can have with them as well through this program. And we've met with Sanford Health. We've met with Indian Health Service from a couple of the tribes. And it's just an amazing way to partnership out. And the other thing, and this is our new strategic plan at BSU just was released last week, and two of the four major tenets deal with American Indian students and communities. And so one of the things that we're really working on too is it's a great experience for Indian students to go onto the reservations, but it's also an amazing experience for non-Native students to go onto the tribal entities as well and to learn and to work in diverse backgrounds and have that experience when they go out to get jobs.
Right. We're talking with Bemidji State University's Bill Blackwell Jr., along with winning the Minnesota Martin Luther King Jr. Commitment to Service Award this week. He also received the Distinguished Diversity Leadership Award from the Minnesota State Colleges and University Systems earlier this fall. And Bill, you haven't always worked in higher ed. What was it that was the impetus behind you switching and kind of deciding, you know, I want to make an impact in the world?
Yeah, you know, that's for most people in higher ed, it's very much been a A to B path for how they've come, and that really hasn't been my journey at all. And this is something that I think has really helped me in dealing with our students, because a lot of them who come in, they're used to going into offices that people went to Ivy League schools, or they had their doctorate by age, you know, 29. I actually stopped out of school twice. So I was at the University of Minnesota Duluth, stopped out twice, and actually didn't get my undergrad degree until I was 35 here at BSU. And I was a retail manager, so I did that for 13 years. And I always tell people, I was really good at it. We had successful stores. I won a lot of awards for retail. But at the end of the day, I always used to ask myself the question of, what have I done today? And I didn't mean that in a sense of, you know, I just sat in an office, because if you've ever seen retail employees, nobody sits in an office. But what did I really do? And I had a hard time answering that question. And then my oldest son was born. He was about 3. And I was having problems getting to his events. The schedule's not very flexible at all. And I was working at the Office Max here in Bemidji. And I remember shutting the door one night and just saying, okay, that's it. I can't do this anymore. I feel like there's more I should be doing. And I grew up in a family that was very community orientated. My dad is one of our spiritual leaders in Grand Portage. And I grew up going all around helping people. And it just wasn't making me happy. And so I had about a 100-foot walk to my car. And by the time I hit my car, I was like, I'm going to BSU tomorrow. And
wow.
Just seeing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, and I tell our students this a lot, as a 35-year-old person who is partially financially responsible for a child, it was very scary to come back to school. Also, I was by far and away the oldest student in a lot of the classes. And I remember walking into class my first day, and a friend of mine called me, and he said, I'm in my master's program right now, and we have a student that's older than the rest of us. And he said, I'm going to give you some advice. Keep your mouth shut. This person talks all the time, and they think because they're older, they have all this experience, which you do, but the students will like you a lot more if you're quiet. And so I took that advice probably for the first time in my life and was quiet, and really enjoyed it, had 17 credits, and went right into my master's program after that the next year at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and got a job at Leech Lake Tribal College. And, you know, within probably 2 days, just felt different. I knew that this was something I wanted to do, and I was actually the recruitment and outreach coordinator there. My second day, I ended up being tasked with being the project manager to redo our website, all these different things. Ended up getting promoted to the director of institutional advancement, handling all the fundraising, public and private grants, and then this opportunity came up, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to apply for it. I think I handed in my application with like 2 minutes to go, and then ended up coming here, and I honestly can't imagine my life without it.
That's Bill Blackwell Jr. He is the director of the American Indian Resource Center on the Bemidji State University campus, and he is a recipient of the Minnesota Martin Luther King Jr. Commitment to Service Award. This conversation will be available on our website later today at KAXC.org and on the Morning Show podcast, which will be available through iTunes. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.